UK Wine Show, show number 15. G'day, welcome to 3050's UK Wine Show. I'm Chris Scott and I'm glad to be back from my trip to Australia. This week's show is going out a wee bit late. It should have been out on Friday, but due to some technical issues, mainly to do with my little girl leaving the tap on and the plug in the basin upstairs, flooding all my equipment, we had a wee delay getting this out. We've got a great show this week talking to Claire Seal. She's the publisher of Decanter Wine Awards, and we're going to be finding out about what makes a good wine award and how can we use wine awards to enjoy our wine. But before we get into this, let's have the news with Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. Australian scientists are aiming to build an electronic nose that can objectively measure the aroma and flavour of grapes and wine. The CyberNose will involve using the highly sensitive sensor proteins from insects and worms to develop an instrument that can be trained to match desirable aroma and flavour properties as defined by winemakers or even consumers. Dr. Stephen Trowell is a leader of the Australian Food Futures flagship programme. He told us that the CyberNose should allow Australian winemakers to produce wine with the aroma and flavour that people like. The aim is for the tool to be in wineries around Australia by 2013. Following the success of Sideways comes a new movie with a wine theme, this time set in France. Directed by Ridley Scott, A Good Year stars Russell Crowe and Albert Finney and is adapted from Peter Mayle's novel of the same name. Crowe plays an investment expert who, upon losing his job at a London firm, moves to Provence to tend a vineyard that he's inherited from his late uncle. The film is due to open in British cinemas on 27th of October. And finally, if you love German wine but stumble over the long and unpronounceable names, then you may be pleased to hear that one appellation is going to get easier to say. The rather laborious Moselle-Saar-Ruhr will become simply Moselle from the 2007 vintage. The change comes after years of lobbying by the region's growers. They complained that the name was too complicated for the average consumer, and also that some people thought it meant that the wines were a three-region blend. They claim that the precedent was set by the Rheinpfalz and Südlich wine... I can't pronounce it myself. They claimed that the precedent was set by the Rheinpfalz and Südlich Weinstraße, which was shortened to Pfalz, thankfully, 14 years ago. And that's it for the news this week. Back to you, Chris.
Thanks, Jane. I was talking to Simon Waghorn. We have an interview with him coming up later on in the year about the Sideways phenomenon. And he was saying that the Marlborough Pinot Noir was, they had slightly more production than they needed. You know, they were slightly above the demand curve. Until Sideways come out, and now they're slightly behind the demand curve. There's been a real shift in Pinot Noir consumption in the US. So it'll be interesting to see how the Russell Crowe movie, A Good Year, influences wine consumption in the UK. Also, the CyberNose story is quite interesting. The way people smell nose is quite complicated, and it's interesting to see that they're having a go at it. Just as an aside, one of the ways of detecting some medical problems with people in the future may be through detection of smells. They reckon that dogs can smell things like cancer. So a nose that can detect good wine may also be possible to be retrained to detect some problems with people. So it's quite interesting. Next, we've got the interview with Claire Seal. Let's have a listen to that. Hi, I'm here with Claire Seal. She's the publisher behind Decanter and the lady who launched the Wine Awards for Decanter 3 years ago. How are you?
Hi.
The Wine Awards have been going for, 3 years now?
Yes, we've just finished the third year of judging. And so the results will be coming out on September the 4th this year.
There's three main awards, really, isn't there, in the UK? There's the Decanter Awards, which you guys do. What are the other couple?
There's the International Wine Challenge and there's the International Wine and Spirit Competition. And the Decanter World Wine Awards are really the new kids on the block. Decanter Magazine has actually been going for over 30 years. But we've spent a long time looking at different awards all over the world and picking the best elements out of each to produce what we think is the superlative wine competition in the world.
A lot of awards are
based on the quality of the judges.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys decide on who the judges are and what really drives your decision on judges? Because without good judges, you can't really have confidence in the results.
Judges are absolutely the key element of a competition. Competitions and awards are all about third-party endorsement, but that third-party endorsement has to come from a credible source. So the Decanter World Wine Awards are absolutely based on the quality of the judges, and we go all over the world and pick who we think are the absolute experts on the region that they will be judging. And our judges are chosen for their specific knowledge of the wines that they will be judging. So, for example, on the Burgundy panel, they will all be experts in Burgundy.
How many judges do you have?
We had nearly 200 judges this year.
Gosh, and do they all try the same wines?
No, they are chosen for their specific knowledge. So, for example, if you're a New Zealand expert, you will only taste wines from New Zealand.
How many people in the panels?
On each panel, there's a regional chairman.
Yeah.
And then under the regional chairman are three judges tasting. Each flight of wines is tasted by three judges.
After they've had a look at the wines and tasted the wines, mm-hmm. what's the process? You know, does everybody get a reward? Is it a bit like when you're running at 100 metres at primary school?
Absolutely not. No, each wine, the wines are served in flights, and normally it's about 12 wines in a flight. And within each flight, the wines will have been categorised. So they'll be categorised according to the region of production. They'll be categorised according to grape variety. They will be categorised according to price. And they will be categorised according to wine style. Now, within each flight, there's no upper or lower limit to the number of wines that can be given a medal. The judges are looking for the best style of wine or the best winemaking in that category. So all 12 wines in one flight could win gold medals. They could be outstanding examples of their type, or all 12 wines could be rubbish and could be thrown out and said, no, they don't deserve a medal at all.
So how many wines get recommended?
In this year's competition, 64% of the wines won a medal of some description. So that's from commended up to the international trophy.
And what are the levels?
The levels, the bottom medal is the commended, and that's saying Decanter recommends this as a good standard wine. It's nothing outstanding, but it's good solid winemaking. It then goes up to bronze, silver and gold. And gold is a really outstanding example of its type. The golds are then within each category, so all of the New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc golds will then be judged together to compete for the regional trophy, which is the best Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. And then all of the Sauvignon Blancs from all over the world will be judged against each other to choose the best Sauvignon Blanc from the world.
Okay, and that's your trophy winner, is
that's it? That's your international trophy winner.
Yeah, excellent.
And there's an, to put it into context for the consumer, within each category, there's an under £10 trophy and an over £10 trophy, because we feel very strongly that price is an incredibly important indicator for the consumer. You cannot judge a £60 wine against a £4.99 wine and expect the £4.99 wine to beat the £60 wine.
So if you've given someone a gold award in the and a £6.99 price point, then it's a very good example of a wine at that price.
Absolutely. And the judges are briefed before they start that at all times when you're judging, you must take into account the price of the wine. Because from the consumer's point of view, if they're splashing out on something special for a special occasion, they're looking for a very different wine than if they're spending £5 on a bottle of wine to have with supper on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, exactly. What about some wines you get that are designed to really stand out in a flight of wines? I can think of a couple of Sauvignon Blancs from New Zealand, which we've tasted, and they are very good examples of wine, but the consumer might prefer something that's not so fruit-forward, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
because it's designed to really stand out in a flight and to try and go for that award.
Yeah.
You know, do you guys take that into consideration?
Obviously, all of the wines are tasted blind, so the judges are taking all of these wines at face value. Obviously, as I've said, there are price categories, and so the judges must take that into account. And normally, if a wine has been created just to look good in a wine competition to sell the other wines within the portfolio, normally there's a big price bracket on that.
Yeah. It's quite expensive to enter a wine into the competition. I was reading on your website, it's £80 a bottle plus four samples. What's driving the cost there?
Well, the cost, the Decanter World Wine Awards are the only competition where we pay absolutely all of our judges to judge, because we feel very strongly that they are doing a professional job for us, and therefore we have to pay them a professional fee to judge.
And the four bottles, there must be a fair bit of wine left after. Is that, do you guys have your decanter end of year party the next day?
Absolutely not. I wish we did. No, this is one of the lovely things about the Decanter World Wine Awards, because we're able to be altruistic with this as well, because all of the wine that is left over at the end of the Decanter World Wine Awards is actually sold off for charity. We work very closely with Christie's and do a number of sales with them. They take the best of the best and auction it off. We then sell the rest of the wine. We are working very closely with the charity WaterAid, and we have an initiative called Turning Wine into Water, and we are raising money for a village in Burkina Faso, in Africa. Yeah, so last year we raised over £30,000 through selling the leftover wine off, and hopefully, although they won't be drinking wine, they'll be drinking good, clean water over there.
I think I'd rather have the wine. The judging's just finished, hasn't it? When was
that? The judging took place in the last week of April.
Yeah, but the awards aren't released until the 4th of September.
Yeah.
I understand the trade can get access to the results now, whereas the general public can't. Why is that?
The trade, we want them to have access to the results. They get the results at London Wine Trade Fair, which is in mid-May. We want them to have absolutely as much time as they possibly can to promote the fact that they have won trophies and medals. The reason that it takes so long to get to the consumer is because obviously had 3,700 wines recommended. It takes a long time to collate the results, and then we have a lead time on actually printing the magazine. So the earliest that we can get it on the shelves to you is the beginning of September.
I suppose it gives them a chance to print off all their wee stickers that say
exactly
this gold medal.
All of the retailers are then making sure that they've got all of the information in store to direct you to the medal-winning wines.
Just on a personal note, Claire, what sort of wines have you been drinking recently?
Well, I've obviously had a sneak preview to what the results are, so obviously I'm going for the top, going to the trophy winners, and making sure that I can taste these bottles while there are still some left on the shelves before everybody else hears about it.
So there's no real advantage telling everybody what you're drinking?
Absolutely not. It's a closely guarded secret until the beginning of September.
Excellent. Okay, and just before we close up the interview, what sort of wine tip do you have for people?
I think that my wine tip is basically use these competitions, because we've brought in the world's best judges to pre-taste 6,500 wines for you, which means that if you see a bottle sticker in your local wine merchant or in the supermarket, it gives you the confidence to try some different wines. Go for great varieties that you've never tried before. Go for wine styles. Go for different regions from around the world. Take, for example, a lot of my friends who don't know very much about wine. If I mentioned try a Greek wine, they've almost turned their nose up at it. But
I've had some dodgy writs in several
exactly, tabernas. And that's everybody's got that impression of Greek wine. But Greece did really well in the awards this year. There are some fantastic wines being produced out there. And go and search out those bottles that have got the gold medal stickers on it. And use these competitions to give you the confidence to go and try something that maybe you haven't tried before.
Well, thanks very much, Claire, and cheers.
And thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the interview with Claire Seale. She's quite an interesting person, and wine awards are something that, you know, in 3050, we don't get hugely involved in, but I think we're going to start to pay more attention to them, particularly next year. So we'll see how that goes. Next week, we're going to be talking to Wine Intelligence. Wine Intelligence are a UK market research company who do market research into what people like, etc. So we're going to be talking a wee bit about wine market research next week, and then the following week we're actually going to be talking to them more about who drinks what in the UK and to get a feel for that. So until then, cheers and good drinking. UK Wine Show is brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Jane Scott, recorded and edited by Chris Scott. The news is read by Jane Scott. Background news research is by Sandra Clements. The music for the UK Wine Show is Griffiths de Jingle 1 by Marcel de la Giartelli and Silence by Italy North.